Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode, we review issue 1 of Transformers Wreckers, Tread and Circuits in comics. Get the latest update on the Transformers Rise of the Beasts live-action movie. And there's a new guest announcement for TFCon Toronto. Today is Friday, November 19th, 2021, and this is episode 260 of Transmissions Alt Mode. Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that doesn't want to wait until 2023 for the next Transformers movie. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Apollo, aka Robo Apollo.
Hi, what's up, everyone?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hello. Let's talk Transformers.
All right. We mentioned this in the main show. I just wanted to get it out again in case, you know, didn't hear the news. But yeah, our friend Kevin Horn passed away last week very suddenly. So that was a bit of a shock to everyone in the, you know, just in the Transmission Discord and community. He was a big part of that. And we just wanted to give a tribute to him and wish him farewell. And encourage you to donate to his wife Ashley's GoFundMe. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes, and so you can go there. We really encourage everyone to contribute and help out his wife and the rest of his family in this difficult time. So again, just our best wishes and condolences to Kevin's family, and he will be very sorely missed in the Transmissions community. So, and thanks to everyone who has donated already. We really appreciate it. All right. Getting back into the show, want to announce that the next episode of Empire of Rust is coming this Monday. So this is episode 63, 12 Angry Bots, continuing the courtroom drama of that's the current storyline of Empire of Rust. So this will be the episode available to everyone in the free feed, the main Empire of Rust feed at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. All the people who are Donatrons already have access to the early episode, so you should already have access to that on the Patreon. So, but for everyone else, this will be available soon. Okay, let's jump right into alt mode, and we're going to start off with our comic review. So we are reviewing Transformers Wreckers, Tread and Circuits, number one. So this is a brand new generation of Wreckers. This is written by David Marriott, art by Jack Lawrence, colors by Candace Hahn, letters by Jake M. Wood and Nathan Wittick, editor Riley Farmer, and supervising editor Tom Waltz. So we have three covers. Cover A is Wreckers in their action pose, throwing up their gang sign, their Wreckers gang sign. That's art by Jack Lawrence and colors by Candace Hahn. Cover B is some Wreckers glam shots by Anna Malkova. And then the retailer incentive cover is the Wreckers in Free Fall, and that's by Nick Roche with colors by Josh Burcham. So, Daryl, which of these three covers are you picking?
Well, I think I'm going to go with cover A. I like the way they all kind of place there in the like the team shot. Everybody's kind of, you know, waving to the crowd, I guess, with their their Wreckers W hand signal. It's a nice shot. Jack Lawrence did a great job on the image, and it's a nice looking cover.
Cool. Apollo, which cover would you pick?
It was hard for me to pick between cover A and the RI cover, but I'm going with Nick Roche's cover, the RI. I thought that was really cool that, they brought him back, you know, since he was the original artist for Wreckers, the previous Wreckers, to, do a cover. And I think it's really fun seeing them diving, skydiving with the camera drones, filming them. So, that's my pick.
Cool. And Jeremy, which cover are you picking?
It's really hard. I think all three are really good covers in their own right. I think I'm probably also going with the RI cover. It just, I mean, I think, like I said, they're all equally good. There's just, I like the kind of the action and the spacing in this one. And you get Circuit with his Action Master kind of add-ons, which it's neat to see. So yeah, it's cover RI for me this week.
Cool. I think I will also go for the Retailer Incentive cover by Nick Roche and Josh Bertram. So yeah, that's I especially like Thunderclash's expression in the cover too, like and the little salute he's giving. So
they're in free fall, no big deal.
Yeah, no biggie.
Yep. So cool. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the story. Above a planet somewhere in the universe, a special group of bots prepare to do a suborbital jump. Team leader Thunderclash gives the go sign and they jump. This is the Wreckers, a group of death-defying stunt bots showing their latest daring event. Hotshot provides the intro as the bots are in freefall. They're doing this jump without levitators or any safety net, and they're going to land on their feet. For added flair, Hotshot transforms into truck mode, and teammate Ricochet magnetically clamps his feet on Hotshot's hood, air surfing on him. Aileron transforms to her jet mode, and Thunderclash clamps on her hood. Then Thunderclash and Ricochet lock hands, spinning in a big spiral as they all continue to freefall towards the planet below. Coming out of the spiral, Ricochet disengages his magnetic clamps, flinging Hot Rod towards the surface. Just before impact, he transforms to robot mode and hits the ground and jumps back up to join hands with Thunderclash and the other bots as they land gracefully on the surface. And everything is being filmed and live streamed by the team's camera operator Circuit as he lands behind them. As the Wreckers pose for a victory shot and end with their classic tagline, their signal is suddenly hijacked. The extremist group Mayhem interrupts their show feed. Octopunch, flanked by Submarauder and Skullgrin, delivers Mayhem's manifesto. The natural order of the universe is chaos, but Cybertronians are driven to try and impose order in their expansion of colonies across the galaxy. Velocitron, one of Cybertron's greatest colonies, is also a symbol of Cybertronian society's flaws. The Velocitronians don't choose their leaders via popular elections, but rather allow the winner of their racing event, the Speedia 500, to take control of the government and lead the Senate. This corruption allows fools who are just good at racing to gain real power for no valid reason. And if the Velocitronians won't change this themselves, it falls to Mayhem to restore order through violence. And Octopunch has a helpful example. He's kidnapped and restrained Electrons, a racer who lost the last Speedia 500, and planned to race again. But according to Octopunch, Electrons' reasons for wanting to win are entirely selfish. He wants personal gain and glory, not to serve the people of Velocitron and Cybertron. So Octopunch renders judgment on the corrupt Electrons and murders him live on camera by slicing him to pieces with his sword. Octopunch reiterates Mayhem's demands. Return power to the people and cancel the Speedia 500. If Velocitron refuses, Mayhem will ensure that no bot crosses the Speedia 500 finish line alive. Octopunch ends their broadcast with a dig at the frivolous Wreckers and their mindless entertainment stunts. But they at least have the right idea with their tagline. Octopunch signs off with the Wreckers' own catchphrase, Wreck and Rule. The Wreckers get control back and sign off quickly. Thunderclash wants to know what happened. The team joins support medic Minerva back on their ship, the Stuntmaster, for a debriefing. The Wreckers are actually a covert elite commando team that uses their Daredevil operation as a cover for their Black Ops missions. With Mayhem making their intentions clear, their next stop is now Velocitron. The Stuntmaster lands on Velocitron to a crowd of reporters. Aileron, in charge of the team's logistics and planning, is surprised by this. She asks Thunderclash why a crowd is gathering when they were supposed to be on a covert mission. Thunderclash answers back that he called them ahead of time. The Wreckers do covert by being out in the open and promoting their next show. Aileron is not amused. Thunderclash exits the Stuntmaster and greets the crowd of reporters. He gives a rousing speech that the Wreckers are here to show solidarity with Velocitron. Four of the Wreckers will personally enter the Speedia 500 and make sure everyone stays safe. While the reporters pepper the Wreckers with questions, Circuit silently disembarks from the Stuntmaster to do some investigating on his own. Since he is mode-locked, no longer able to transform, he walks through the city on foot. A rude motorcycle bot drives by and transforms just to yell an insult to Circuit as the only bot walking on the street, pick up some scrap and throw it at him, then transform back to cycle mode and drive away laughing. Back on the Stuntmaster, Aileron continues to express her displeasure at Thunderclash completely abandoning her painstakingly crafted covert mission plans. She asks why he thinks being so out in the open could be a good idea. Thunderclash just answers that he thought it was important to take a stand and show the bots that they can stand up to fear and terrorism. Aileron isn't convinced, but it doesn't matter since the die is cast. Finally, after noticing the other crew are all at the ship stations, she asks, where is Circuit? In an alley, Circuit rubs the back of his head in pain after the Cyclebot hit him with the bit of scrap. He has a moment of introspection to reflect on his current situation, but then bright lights appear at the other end of the street. A new stranger is apparently chasing him. Circuit tries to escape, but he's cornered at the end of the alley. He turns to face his pursuer, who greets him like an old friend. It's his Action Master mold mate, Axer. To be continued. So this was an interesting first issue, a new iteration of the Wreckers. I like having a group of Wreckers that have no connection to the previous version. So it's just interesting to see the bots that David Marriott chose for this new group. It's a very eclectic bunch, very lots of obscure characters, and interesting how he put them together in these roles and changing them into this kind of. I mean, it's also, I think it works for this new continuity because it is supposed to be, at least at the start of the story, it was supposed to be peacetime for the Transformers. So the original Wreckers were definitely a group of forged in the fires of the Civil War. So now having the Wreckers be more of a covert ops mission in peacetime was interesting. So I thought this was a good introduction. I do like the artwork. I think Jack Lawrence did a great job with the artwork, and then the new colorist Candace Hahn, definitely brings the. It's a really well drawn and well colored book. I thought all the big set pieces with the Daredevil stunts and everything looked cool. The new rendering of the Pretenders. So I'm wondering what the story is going to be for this Mayhem group now that are they Pretenders in the sense that they have inner robots and outer shells and things, or what's going to be the deal, or are they organics for some reason? I don't know. Particularly I see Octopunch has a face inside that helmet. So I'm curious what's going on there. But, I thought this was a good intro and to see, Electrons, which I believe is based on the toy Electro, which has gold plastic syndrome, so he's literally gets torn apart in the comic, probably to reference how he crumbles pretty easily these days. If you manage to find an Electro out in the wild, be very careful with him. So I overall I thought it was a good introduction, a good first issue. I'm curious where they're gonna go with Circuit and Axer for in particular, like the fact that they use the similar bots who are both Action Masters and have the same mold. So I just thought it was interesting. Apollo, what did you think of this story?
I really liked it. I mean, like it drew me in right away. I know we've talked about this on past episodes of Transmissions, but I like that this story is not the mainline characters. Like, this is a whole set of characters that really don't have a lot of stories told about them. So I really like that. And I like how playful and yet competitive the Wreckers are with each other. Like, I thought that was fun. Octopunch really, that poor scene with, electrons, that was pretty gruesome, He like just cut him up into pieces and he's like, where's your glory now? And I'm like, oh, this escalated rather quickly. I'm very curious to see where the story is going as well. And Jack Lawrence nailed it on the art, for the lines. And, I really like the coloring as well. So, I think this is going to be a really good series. At least I hope so.
Cool. Jeremy, what did you think?
I really liked it. When we first saw the first promo images, we only saw the first few pages and we're like, what is this going to be? And then when you actually get into the story, you know, and like Apollo said, you know, you see some gruesome violence pretty early on, like, okay, it's gonna still be a record story. And I like the like undercover cloak and dagger type vibe we're getting here, even if, you know, like Aaron says, they do undercover poorly. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. The art's great. The colors are great. And as a first issue, I think this definitely led me wanting more, which I'm glad that as we're recording it now, issue two just came out. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm expecting, well, I don't really know what I'm expecting. I'm going into this with an open mind because issue one was so good. I'm expecting to be very, very pleased with what we get just from what I see here. It was a lot of fun.
All right, Daryl. I know this is not quite the meat grinder slaughter fest that Last Stand of the Wreckers was, but what did you think of this new version?
All right. Well, I'm glad that you pointed out that the bot that got it slice and diced was G2 Electro, because that was going to be something that I was going to point out, but you got to it first. That's okay.
Gold plastic syndrome.
Yeah. The aspect of this team, if I'm on the opposite end that you are, Charles, that I would like them to have some connection to the previous Wreckers. It doesn't have to be in issue one, because there wasn't one, but it has to come at some point in the first, let's say, five issues, that there is some reason they call themselves the Wreckers. There's some lineage there that they've continued it on, because this is a very different team than the previous incarnation. And, if there is no connection, and if this is just they've taken the name and they're just going to co-opt it for, you know, for whatever they're using it for. I know this is a different universe. That's what we're in. But the Wreckers have to have existed in, you know, the other universe as well. But I would prefer them, in my mind, to just be called something else. The Wreckers, in my mind, are they're what the Nick Roach story was, the Wreckers for me. And that's the only problem I have with the naming of this book, is that if they don't have any kind of connection, then they should have been called something else. The only other one I have is that being called Wreckers, this is a really bright and shiny, bubbly book. And the art's great. Like, Jack is a fantastic artist. It's just, it's very, very happy. It's a very happy looking book. Everything is very fun and jubilant. You know, aside from the part where G2 Electro gets, you know, sliced and diced, but, you know, everybody's smiling and giddy and everyone's having a good time. This is, you know, it doesn't feel like a Wreckers book to me. And that's another one of the issues I take with it. The thing that you pointed out about Octopunch and him having a face inside the helmet, that's the toy. That's the G1 toy. It has, you know, in underneath Octopunch's helmet is a head, and it looks just like that. So, you know, if this, if these Mayhem guys are all made up of pretenders, because I mean, I see, I don't think it's, the one I'm looking at them to both here. I think I see, Submarauder on the one side, and I think the other one is,
Skullgrin. I said it when I was reading the summary.
That's the name I was thinking of. He looks different. This is a newer incarnation of Skullgrin, so he doesn't look like the G1 counterpart. But yeah, so if they're all made up of pretenders, then that's fantastic. I mean, I love the pretenders coming back into this. This is kind of great. The story was fine. I like that the they're an undercover kind of ops team, and then it's a nice kind of cloak and dagger kind of a story, like Jeremy was pointing out. It seems, and I mean this is a lot to throw on issue one. I expect them to kind of lay this out over the next few issues, having such a public persona seems counterintuitive to being a black ops team, so it'd be interesting to see how that kind of plays out and if it's kind of rinky dink. I'm here for it. We're gonna review these, so I'm in regardless. I have a problem with the name. That's my biggest thing. I expect a Wreckers book to be kind of dirty and messy and, gritty. And this is drawn very, very well, very cleanly. And it's very bright and shiny. And it just doesn't have the same feel. It's an odd, an odd read right now just to, to call this Wreckers. Other than that, I really have no problems with it. It read well. It's put together. The pacing was great. And I said it before, the art is fantastic. It just has a weird feeling to it.
Look at all those faction symbols that are just drawn on.
They are drawn on. They're great. Jack's a fantastic artist.
Yeah.
Fantastic. He can draw really, really well.
I love the Wreckers faction symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, well, to your point, Daryl, about the Wreckers lineage, they do mention that they were a team during the war, for the Threefold Spark. That's their the backstory in the new universe. So maybe later on we'll get some information about what the Wreckers were before peacetime. So maybe that will indicate some previous members that we're more familiar with. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, that is our review of Transformers Wreckers Tread and Circuits, number one. And we will move on to media news.
All right. In media news this week, we got a couple things here. The first one is going to be a really easy one for me to talk about because it's mostly about Jeremy, what he's going to talk about. So we got there was a conference, an entertainment conference about Virtual Global Interactive, and Jeremy, tell us what happened here. What's all this about?
Well, it was it's a interactive gaming conference. Wizard of the Coast was there, and that's kind of why we have the news, because they're a part of Hasbro. And unfortunately, there isn't much Transformers content because Rise of the Beast was postponed. Mainly, they talked about things like Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons, and then there's the new G.I. Joe console game coming. But we do know Wizards of the Coast is looking into the other Hasbro brands. There's a slide from Investor Day 2021 where they had like Micronauts, G.I. Joe, Ouija, because you want to Ouija board card game, and then also Transformers. So not really much Transformers news from this, but they are interested, and I'm guessing that after the G.I. Joe console game is out, Transformers is probably going to be in production after, and this is by their new studio that they have in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. So I guess just not much now, but I would expect we're going to be getting Transformer video games sooner rather than later.
Cool. Yeah. We've got a little bit more on the delay later. That's neat. I guess we're going to see a lot more Hasbro stuff as far as the games come out in all kinds of different properties. So that's cool.
Yeah, since they now have their own game studio, hopefully we're not going to run into a situation like with Activision, where now if you want, like the Fall of Cybertron or, those games that were pretty well, well regarded, but you can't get them now. I mean, unless you can find a physical copy and you have something to play that on, you can't get it.
Mm-hmm. I just hope the quality's there.
Yeah.
Because the other companies that did them were you know, they produced really good quality games. And those, you know, those, when a company that's not really known, like Hasbro's a toy company, right? So, I mean, they start making games and we get, we start getting some real shit games. So, yeah. I hope that the games that they produce at least have, you know, at least some quality behind them. Cool. Thanks for that, Jeremy. The next thing we have is another one of those stop motion videos from Hasbro, and they put out the official discontinued video. What do you mean I'm discontinued? I'm being discontinued. And it's by Stan Bush as Jazz, John Machida as Blur and the director, and Greg Berger as the audio tech. You can take a look. This has got some, do you think, this appears to be one of those little short videos that, was played during the re-release of the Transformers movie in theaters. So, did any of you guys see this?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Yeah. Good. And I think, Joe Troutman and Flint Dilley wrote these, if I'm not mistaken.
Great. All right. So looks like they're starting to come out now. So that's good. We'll hopefully get the rest of these soon. Right on. So if you never got the chance to see them like me, take them, take a look. They're linked in the show notes. We've got, so the second part of the Cyberverse finale titled The Perfect Decepticon aired early in Canada. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago because we did get time for like times, dates and times that it was going to air. And there is a review up now for it up on Cybertron.com. And it is available on other services if you want to go out there and look for it, because it did get pirated. You can find it out there if you want to not want to wait, because it's going to air in the U.S. on the 20th of November. So at the time of this airing, you will have one day to wait. So if you don't want to wait that one day, you can go and find it in online somewhere. But you can read the review for that online as well. We won't spoil it here. And lastly, we've got the thing that we touched on earlier, is that the Transformers Rise of the Beasts movie has been delayed. It was originally scheduled to be in theaters on June 24th, 2022. And then we kind of heard a rumor that it was getting pushed back until December. That never actually transpired. But we did just get an official release of it now getting pushed back or delayed, whatever you want to call it, approximately 1 year to June the 9th, 2023. Yeah, that sucks, because we know that it's done. So maybe they got to do reshoots, or maybe they got to fix something. But
filming is done.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant. Like, filming's done. So, you know, the editing, cause it was still over a year left before it was scheduled to be released. So, you know, that's generally plenty of time to get all the rest of the editing and all that stuff done. They're going to push it back, another two years. Yeah. Well, almost 2 years. So we're waiting a bit now. That sucks.
I mean, if you look at it, like, they just got a new CEO for Paramount. That's probably playing into this some too. We've talked about that. And then other movies that have been delayed due to the pandemic. I mean, the schedule's been shuffling around. So they're probably like seeing what's moving, you know, nearby, and they don't want to be kind of, you know, lost in the shuffle with a major movie like this.
Yeah, that's true. Just to kind of keep everything kind of, you know, balanced here, and so you know where the Transformers movie sits. The new Star Trek movie that they've got coming out is also being moved back as well. Not as far, but it was scheduled to be released on June 9th, 2023, which is now the new Transformers one, and that is now December 22nd, 2023. So they've put the Star Trek movie in the Christmas death spot, which is kind of crazy. So that kind of sucks, but we're waiting. We're waiting a little longer for the next Transformers movie. That's it for media news. Charles, back to you.
Okay, and we will move on to convention news.
All right. TFCon Toronto has announced another guest that will be at their convention December 10th through 12th. And this is Bob Skurr, the story editor for Beast Machines and writer on Beast Machines and Transformers Prime. So this will definitely have a lot of good stories. Bob, I've seen him. I think it was TFCon Charlotte that Charles and I met him. I have a signed script that he was selling. He's really good, like a really good guest. And Beast Machines gets a lot of flack, and I feel like it's unnecessary. And like around the time it was coming out online, he was getting a lot of hate. And it's just, I'm glad that he's, you know, coming to these conventions now where he's more appreciated, and, you know, looking forward to hearing about like his Q&A panels and everything. So great seeing him as a guest at TFCon.
Yeah, when we met him, I took the opportunity to personally apologize for the online hate that I gave Beast Machines back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and he accepted my apology with good humor. So
awesome.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. So anyway, that is all we got for convention news.
All right, and we will finish up the show with feedback. Okay, on Discord, we have a note from Dinobot Maximize, and this is going back to the old Marvel Comics continuity. He's a fan of that. I'm a fan of that, too. So he has a little bit of a kind of a, you know, speculation question he wanted to ask. So Dinobot Maximize starts off, "This is probably a stupid question, or I am just forgetting some of my comic history, but after Optimus and the other Power Masters left Nebulos, I believe that was issue 42 of the old Marvel Comics series, couldn't they have gotten over their poisoning problem with fresh fuel/energon from, say, Earth or somewhere? Wouldn't that have helped them where they didn't have to be combined with their partner unless they wanted to? Or maybe a good flushing or transfusion of their systems, wouldn't that have helped? I can see if they did that and stayed combined because it saved them energy and made them more powerful, but it got me wondering after rereading issue 50, when Prime gets blasted by Scorponok and Buster wants him to get up, Prime says he can't without high Q. I know this probably is a weird question to ask, but it's something that I got to thinking about after reading that scene again." So, Dinobot, I mean, yeah, I think there are many kind of, you know, open questions and plot holes in the old Marvel comics. I think this is just one of them. Bob Budiansky has always said that, you know, with the pace of new toys having to be introduced in the comics, he had a lot of stories that kind of had introduced concepts and then kind of left them out there and didn't really get followed up on. So I imagine the Power Master issue is in that camp. I think, yeah, it's probably something that was just glossed over after they left Nebulos. You know, the original storyline of the Power Masters was after the Transformers came to Nebulos the first time and kind of wrecked the place after the original Headmasters and Target Masters left. The Nebulons decided that they would poison all the fuel sources on their planet to Transformers, so that if any more Transformers came to the planet, they would be destroyed or rendered incapacitated. And so all the Power Master characters are basically Transformers that came to Nebulos later. They took the fuel on Nebulos, poisoned themselves, and then found some sympathetic Nebulons to bind a binary bond with them and become Power Masters so that they could overcome that debilitation. So the original Decepticons, Darkwing and Dreadwind, came and found some Nebulon criminals to help them out and become Power Masters. And then they were, you know, they were causing a little bit of havoc just being criminals with the two, these two Decepticons. So then later on, the Autobot Power Masters came, and they were originally there because they wanted to revive Optimus Prime, because at this point Optimus Prime was dead, and they had his all his memories on a computer disk, on a I guess a 3 1/4 inch floppy disk can hold.
It was a 5 1/4 inch.
Oh, 5 1/4 inch. Okay, so that's even less. That's like 1.2 megabytes for the all of Optimus Prime's consciousness. So. That's some efficient compression.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
LZH compression.
Yeah. so they came to Nebulos because they were the only resources where they could build a new body for Optimus Prime. And but they said, well, if you do that here, he'll immediately be poisoned, because when you start giving him energy, he'll have to, you know, it'll be the Nebulon energy. But they said, well, we're doing it anyway. And compassion of Optimus Prime inspired the Nebulons to do the Power Master process with them and save their lives. And they also, as a bonus, they defeated the Decepticons and forced them off the planet so that they wouldn't terrorize the Nebulons anymore. So that's the whole story of the Power Masters on in the Marvel comics. And yeah, after they leave, it's not really. You know, they don't really mention why they have to stay Power Masters. But, I mean, you could make the argument, well, maybe this binary bonding process is permanent. So you're permanently bonded to the Nebulon, or, you know, they are basically humanoid aliens. And maybe it's something you just can't undo. And that's the reason. But they never really gave a reason in the comics. You do see later on at the very end of the series that apparently Hi-Q and Optimus Prime were being merged, like on not only as Power Master partners, but also like being physically and mentally merged into a single being. So maybe that's the end process of the Power Master process. So that's why it couldn't be undone. But who knows? It's all speculation at this point. You know, these stories are 30 years old, and the writers are probably not going to go back to them anytime soon. But you know, sometimes it's fun to speculate. But yeah, I don't have any better answers for you, Dinobot. But yeah, so hope that was for anyone who is not familiar with the Marvel comics, that's your crash course in one episode, the Power Master episodes. All right, well, that's it for feedback. And so that takes us to the end of the show. Thanks, Apollo, for joining us again this week. So maybe you can tell everyone where they can find your stuff online.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RoboApollo. I post a lot of art on there, and I actually do have commissions open. So if you like a commission, please DM me. I'm also pretty involved in the Discord server for transmissions. So, and I enjoy talking Transformers. So I hope to chat with you.
All right. And we always end the show with a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrons. So thank you to John Forex Levengood, Dinobot Maximize, Demon Tech 82, and Septimus Solvain. So you guys are awesome. We really appreciate you continuing to support transmissions at the highest level. Another way to help out the show is to buy merchandise from our TeePublic store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can help us out by some of our t-shirt designs, masks, and other merchandise. Of course, if you buy anything from TeePublic through our link, that helps us out. So transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.